My heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. Today we'll focus on three characters from our story in Genesis. The woman, who's a picture of the church, the serpent, which is a picture of the love of self, and the woman's seed, the one who would someday be born from her. First, the woman. Long ago, before the first Thanksgiving, before the first Christmas, before Moses and Abraham, before the word itself had been written down, so long ago that only the Lord knows when, the Lord made the first people. He showed himself to these people, and they loved him as their heavenly Father. These were the people of the most ancient church. They were celestial or heavenly, full of love to the Lord and for each other. And the story of the Garden of Eden is a parable about them. They are pictured in a garden because their minds were like gardens, full of wisdom and its delights. They had five senses, just like we do: sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch. But to them, heaven was more important than the senses of the body and the world. To the most ancient church, our world, in fact, was like a mirror that reflected heavenly things. Imagine what it would be like to see the world as a mirror of heaven. Imagine feeling the sun on your forehead, and as your forehead absorbs the heat of the sun, in your spirit you perceive love flowing into you from the Lord. Or imagine biting into a delicious piece of fruit, and as you taste the sweetness, you perceive in spirit the sweetness that comes from doing good things for other people. And there's something else that we should know about the people of the most ancient church. They were given a sense of self. So all life flowed into them from the Lord, but they also felt themselves to be their own people. And that distinction from the Lord meant that they could love the Lord, because the more the two are distinct, the more closely they can be joined together. But over time, something tragic happened. They began to prefer that sense of self to their sense of needing the Lord. And this led to disaster. And disaster came in the form of the tree and the serpent. The tree was the one tree they weren't allowed to eat fruit from. This was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eating from that tree means believing that we can be wise from our five senses and from the things that are in our memories. This is false, and it leads to spiritual death. But that didn't stop the people of the most ancient church, because when they preferred themselves over the Lord, they were ready to listen to the serpent. Originally, the serpent was good. It was a picture of our five senses and our ability to take care of ourselves in this world. But when we turn away from the Lord, the serpent can no longer be trusted. And so it lied to the woman about what would happen if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent said to the woman, "Dying, you shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." The serpent lied. It told them they wouldn't need the Lord anymore. The woman ate the fruit and shared it with her husband. And when the Lord asked the woman what she had done, the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I ate." And Yehovah God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than every beast and more than every wild animal of the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life." When the serpent lied to the woman, the serpent became cursed. When the last people of the most ancient church believed their sensory experience and decided that they could live from themselves, they became obsessed with life in the body and the world. And the enjoyments of this world are like dust compared to the enjoyment of heaven. And something else happened. When they rejected the truth that they live from the Lord, when they rejected this wisdom, The Lord's love still flowed into them. But the Lord's pure love, when it flowed into their twisted minds, it turned into its deadly opposite, into the love of self. Now, we might already know that this love is not good. But ever since that time, the love of self has felt good to us. So let's look at this love in the light of heaven. More from Arcana Celestia about how this love of self seeks to raise itself above everyone else like a snake raising its head. That by the head of the serpent is meant the dominion or the desire to dominate from the love of self is evident from the nature of this love, which is so direful as not only to seek dominion, but even dominion over all things upon earth. Nor does it rest satisfied with this, but aspires even to rule over everything in heaven, and then, not content with this, over the Lord himself. And even then, it is not satisfied. This is latent. It's lurking in every spark of the love of self. If it were indulged and freed from restraint, we should perceive that it would at once burst forth and would grow even to that aspiring height. Hence it is evident how the serpent, or the evil of the love of self, desires to exercise dominion, and how much it hates all those who refuse its sway. When the people of the most ancient church listened to the serpent, they themselves sought to rise up like the head of a serpent. They swelled with the belief that they were gods. And even as they rose in their own eyes, they plunged to the lowest hell. And the bottom hell, the lowest parts of hell, were made for those people who had been the best people, the closest to the Lord. Thousands upon thousands of years passed. New churches, new groups of people turned to the Lord. But always the serpent deceived them. In time, each church decided that it too didn't need the Lord. And when we stop believing that we need the Lord, not even the Lord can help us. At last, the Jewish church also turned away. They too listened to the serpent, and it looked like the serpent would have the whole world under its sway. Prophets stood up and prophesied, urging people to return to Yahuwah their God. But they didn't listen. So even the prophecies stopped. When the people who should have known better rejected the Lord, their downfall brought the whole human race to the brink of hell, as we learn from true Christian religion. At that time, the power of hell prevailed over the power of heaven, and upon the earth, the power of evil over the power of good, and in consequence, a total damnation stood threatening at the door. It was no longer a time for prophecies, but a time for the prophecies of old to be fulfilled. Prophecies like that first one, the one God spoke to the serpent so long before in the Garden of Eden. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall trample on your head, and you shall strike his heel. It was time for him, the seed of the woman, to be born. What sort of person would he be? Well, he would be a seed of the woman, a child of the human race. He would have weaknesses like the rest of us, symbolized in the heel, the lowest part of his mind, the part of our minds that's closest to the body, are open to hell. And it would be same for the seed of the woman. The serpent would strike his heel. The serpent, the head of all evil, the love of self, this evil would seek to attack the seed of the woman and bring him under its sway. And it would attack him through his own tendencies to evil. Now, who could endure that fight, to fight against his own nature after countless of generations had failed? No one but God could win that battle that all others had lost. So God he must be. And as the world stood on the brink of hell, the seed of the woman came. The Lord was born, a child, a hero, who would also be God with us. Picture him, the little child Jesus, the divine human, in the house of Joseph and Mary, learning all the stories in the Word, beginning with creation and the Garden of Eden, and right there, learning about our greatest enemy, the serpent, the love of self. And then as the stories go on, picture him reading the prophecies, knowing that he had come to fulfill them. Prophecies about himself, his mission, and his own power over the serpent. Prophecies like this one from Isaiah. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. Or this one from Micah. They will lick the dust like a serpent. Like reptiles of the earth, they will come trembling out of their fortresses. To Yahuwah our God, they will come in dread, and they will be afraid before you. Even as Jesus learned the truth from the word, hell attacked. The serpent struck his heel, but he was prepared. Picture him reading the word and from the truths in the word, recognizing that this love of self was really a deadly serpent. And from the strength of his divine soul, saying, no, I was not born for the sake of others, for the sake of myself, but for the sake of others. He came in order to be attacked, but not just to be attacked, to fight back and to win, to conquer from his divine power. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, the serpent sought to bring divine truth itself under its sway. Unless the Lord had been born, this world would have perished from the poison of the serpent. Yes, the serpent struck his heel, and the Lord suffered terribly. But in the end, he was victorious. He trampled on the serpent's head. He put down the love of self until it crawled on its belly and ate the dust. Because of Christmas, the Lord has all power to put down the love of self in us. And if we turn to him, turn to the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he will fulfill the prophecy again for each of us, that even though the serpent may strike our heel, the Lord will trample on its head. Amen.